You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are continuing our conversation in the Set Apart to Serve series today. We are at the LCMS Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music, and having a chance to sit down and record with some guests here at the Institute. Joining us today, Jacob Rogo. He's the Director of Parish Music for Zion Lutheran Church in Fort Myers, Florida. Jacob, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here.
We're going to chat a little bit more about becoming a director of parish music in just a moment. Learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Jacob, let's talk about being that path to becoming a director of parish music. Where did that interest in becoming a director of parish music begin for you?
Well, if go back further, my parents forced me lovingly to play piano. And so I did that. And yeah, I also played soccer and wanted to go somewhere that I could use both of those gifts or talents, and came to Concordia, Nebraska. And a lot of my family, the Rogos, went to Concordia, Nebraska. So it just seemed right. But somehow I ended up being a director of parish music. Yes.
When did your interest in parish music begin? What was that? Was it something that you were always just like, well, this is a thing and maybe I should do it? Or was that more of a journey for you? And being a musician as a young child, sometimes that's kind of just a natural thing that happens.
I'll never forget the organist, John Moyer, in Simpsonville, South Carolina, Emmanuel Lutheran Church. He gave me the opportunity to just play one of my piano pieces for a postlude, but on the organ.
Oh.
And those are two very different instruments, but I played a low note on a D major chord at the end, and that was the first pedal note I played on the organ. Anyways, that was a first formative experience, and then it wasn't till years later, my first week at Concordia, Nebraska, I heard Dr. Blurish and Paul Solek playing, and just like, I would love to do that someday.
That's great.
So let's talk about that formation a little bit more. What were the classes you took to become a director of parish music that really shaped that whole office of serving in the church for you?
I took biology my first week as well. Like I said, I played soccer. Mm-hmm. And so my first week of classes before you can switch classes, I took biology and music theory and oral skills. And it only took a week for me to switch out of biology. And like, I love these professors in the music program, and you can learn so much and just apply from my experiences playing piano growing up and then learning more of the science per se about it. So yeah.
What is there to learn about the science of music? Now I need to know what this
I struggled a lot with oral skills, and I think that was because I played piano. You know, you press a key and the sound comes out. Whereas I think, you know, classmates that maybe were vocalists or wind players, it just came more naturally to them. But music theory would very much be the science of definitions. This is what it is. And yeah.
All of those rules that you have to know so you can teach other people how to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or sometimes, you know, it can be the reverse. Like somebody might feel music or hear it and then, that's what this mean, too.
Yeah. And you get to be the person to tell them. But you've mentioned oral skills a couple of times, and for listeners who aren't familiar with what musicians have to learn in school, what is oral skills? What are some of those more specific classes that you would be taking?
Like other classes are about oral skills?
Oral skills.
It would be, and this would be with Dr. Elizabeth Grimpo, just playing notating what you hear or singing what is notated and using a system called solfege, do, re, mi, sound of music.
Yeah. It's difficult.
Yes.
So musicians might understand what we're talking about when we say oral skills, but do we mean aural skills.
Yes.
A-U-R-A-L.
That.
O-R-A-L.
Aural. Yes.
So can you clarify?
Depends on your accent.
A-U-R-A-L something. I don't know. I didn't major in English, so.
Fine. That's fair.
Which, from the science perspective, means we're talking about listening skills, right?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and the ear and ear training, I think. Would that be another word?
Yeah.
That would be appropriate, another phrase. So tell us more about some of the professors you had here and the relationships you gained while studying here at Concordia University, Nebraska in the program to become the director of parish music.
Sure. I mean, yeah, when I was here, you got Dr. Kurt von Kampen and let's see, Dr. Jeffrey Blersch and then Dr. Joseph Hurl. And yeah, I had the pleasure of working with Dr. Andy Schultz. And, you know, I did music ed and I went 5 years and I'll never forget, I needed an instrumental credit and he let me play tuba to get ensemble instrumental credit. So, yeah. And he went to school with my dad and yeah, just such a blessing. All the professors are just such blessings, knowledgeable people, and they really care about you and are there to guide you and everything. So, yeah.
What was that like learning the tuba?
It was a joke.
That's a hard instrument. Have you played any brass instruments before?
No, like okay. I said, I grew up playing piano and then organ here with Dr. Blersch. And then, you know, I think a big thing that I'm thankful for is the fact that I sang in church growing up.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I wasn't in many formal choirs per se.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just a huge blessing that, you know, then when I got here, I was forced once again, lovingly, to be in man choir, one of the choirs, or male chorus. And now I'm here doing the church music thing. So,
You get to learn a lot of stuff to be a church musician. What was the rest of your formation? Like, we've talked about classes and professors, but what are some of the other things that take place when you're in formation as a director of parish music?
I would say a lot of logistics, cataloging, coordination, and trying your best to empower the people of your congregation to find their voice and just bring it all back to worship.
Yeah.
Now, as a director of parish music, you're a church worker. That means you must have studied theology as well. Tell us a bit about the studying theology to become a church worker.
You know, I think, you know, having been working for 4 years now, most of the stuff I remember from classes are just the music stuff. But I mean, being able to worship, I mean, yeah, both at my church, but it's hard, you know, when you're so busy and stressed on a Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, doing your best to have everything line up in regards to music or with pastors, anything with the liturgy or sermons or greeting people. You know, I worship on a Thursday night service too. And, you know, I'm able to just sit and worship and not have to worry about anything else. And so, yeah, I think just a weekly, daily walk, I think is where I get that. Yeah.
Why is it important for you to have your own time and your own space to be in church just as another person in church rather than having responsibilities, having to be on as somebody doing music? Why is that important for you?
Yeah, let's see. I guess, yeah, it's very important to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, I've shared with lots of people before, people I'm close to, but, you know, after my first Easter and my fourth Easter, I ended up in a psychiatric hospital for mental health. And, you know, you can't continue to serve your parish in a psychiatric hospital. That being said, the people in the psychiatric hospital are beautiful children of God.
Yeah.
That you can worship there with those people too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Now you mentioned your first Easter and your fourth Easter. I'm going to guess Easter is a challenging time for church musicians based on my own experience as a church worker. I know it's a busy time.
Yes.
If you're comfortable sharing, what was challenging about those times, that particular, because it was the same time, it sounds like, each time that you were facing a mental health crisis. What was challenging about those times was it just a super busy season for you that?
Sure. I mean, I think any church worker, the first year you're out and throwing COVID that year.
Oh.
And you know, when you don't see your coworkers' actual faces for a whole year and then the masks come off and in a great way. I mean, you know, it was a weird year, you know, a lot of stress. And I think any church worker, you have to, through those seasons, you know, do whatever you need to do for you, you know. And, but yeah, this last Easter, I'm in a snowbird community at the church where I live. And so the season really ramps up during the Christmas, Lent, Easter time. And Easter fell on March 31st this year.
Yeah.
So the snowbirds still have their rental places. And so we really went for it, you know, have the brass and the Banky hymn concert, Tottos and stuff.
Right.
But yeah, you know, at the end of the day, it's a blessing to serve, but yeah, you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about that in just a moment, what that means, taking care of yourself and others watching out for you as well. We'll talk about that in just a moment as a church worker. We are in the Set Apart to Serve series today at the Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music with Jacob Robo, Director of Parish Music at Zion Lutheran Church in Fort Myers, Florida. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we're talking with Jacob Robo. He's the Director of Parish Music at Zion Lutheran Church in Fort Myers, Florida. We're at the Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music. And sharing stories, are you having the opportunity to sit down and hear stories from our friends at the Institute? Jacob is the Director of Parish Music. Right before break, we were talking about the high season of Easter and how that can be very busy for church workers, particularly for the directors of parish music and cantors. That can be an extremely busy season with all the preparations for the wonderful music that makes up the Easter season, the Lent season as well in the church. And so I'm sure it's extremely busy, which can complicate things. And you mentioned facing mental health crises around the Easter season or after the Easter season, your first year and then in your fourth year as well.
Mm-hmm.
What did, and you pointed out that it's important to take care of yourself, to take care of your health, to take care of your well-being. What about those around you when you faced a mental health crisis, your congregation, your pastor? What did that look like? How did they respond when you were facing a crisis like that?
It's tough to know because, you know, some things are in your own head, you know, of what other people think. And but yeah, I mean, very supportive. I mean, more than anything, the support of the staff, the people I work with. And I know Pastor Curtis is a common member of KFUO, and just the support from him and the support from the whole staff. And yeah, you know, I think sometimes you think that, you know, if people think this about me or knew this about me, that they wouldn't have your back. But really, people do. You know, people are going to have your back. And when they really understand what you're going through, and there doesn't have to be a stigma around, you know, whatever given thing, you know, we're all just doing our best. And at the end of the day, you know,
it's Christ crucified that yeah, and Jesus died for our sins and is going to be a beautiful celebration in heaven someday. And, yeah. And it's a joy still here. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And we like to share stories of people who are willing to talk about these things too. Mm-hmm. You know, the more we talk about this, the more that we're able to kind of normalize some of the things that happen to church workers. And I don't talk about the help that you received and how we can take care of ourselves too and take care of each other in congregations. And I think that's helpful mm-hmm. for a lot of people to know that mm-hmm. they're not alone and that, you know, these things do happen to people in the church. What are some things that you've learned about taking care of yourself, your health, you know, mind, body, soul in your life as a church worker?
Yeah, I guess in the hospital, there was a lot of group therapy mm-hmm. and which has its, I mean, challenges, but also a lot of good benefits. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had art therapy. They had not a certified music therapist, but kind of some stuff with that. And a therapist, they even had a therapist that was sort of like a pastor, like mm-hmm. preaching in a public setting, just in the group setting. When he found a chance to share the gospel, he did. And so, yeah, I mean, I think between just resources around you, doctors, therapists, psychiatrists, for whatever somebody might be going through. Yeah, at the end of the day, for me, and just being able to ask for help and yeah. people will be willing to give it to you. So, yeah.
Let's talk about what your service as a director of parish music looks like. Sure. What are your responsibilities at Zion in Fort Myers?
I always tell people I work with preschoolers and snowbirds. And yeah, so we have an adult choir and handbells. And I do a lot with the service planning and service playing. But yeah, I was telling you, Sarah, earlier that, you know, it's just finding what gifts and talents mostly focus towards music and, you know, just empowering them to, in worship, share those gifts. So,
yeah. What is it like working with a snowbird congregation? What does that cycle look like? Because, I mean, churches up, you know, in other places don't have that cycle that you have.
Well, see, half of the people from the congregations in Michigan go to Florida
right, exactly.
in the winter.
Yeah.
So
we lose all our people right. up here, well, up in Michigan, and they all go to Florida. What is that cycle like for you to have a congregation that's kind of changing yeah. a couple of times a year?
You know, it's really fun because you get people from all different experiences and just being able to listen to people's stories is so cool. And yeah, it's great.
I'm sure they have a lot of stories to tell.
What are some of the things you get to do with young children? You mentioned working with preschoolers and snowbirds. So let's talk about what director of parish music gets to do with preschoolers.
Sure. I've done a bit with, it's called First Steps in Music. Mm-hmm. If you know Emmy Wook, professor at Concordia Chicago, she's big on, yeah, teaching the little ones. And so First Steps in Music, you're just teaching them to be tuneful, beatful, artful.
Yep.
And it's really fun. Yeah.
What does that look like in working with families? How do you incorporate families into the First Steps curriculum and into teaching young kids? That's not just the littles that you have yeah. in your classes. What does that look like for you?
One way is, I mean, chapel each week. And we have a great preschool director, Beth Wallace, and just, yeah, has, I think, been with the program for 15 years since the preschool started. And one thing I'm looking forward to this year is every time for offering, they sing this song called Father Bless the Gifts We Bring You. Mm-hmm. It's not really a well-known tune or song or hymn, but it's from Little Ones Sing Praise, a CPH publication. And we got David Von Kampen. We commissioned him to write a piece that the little ones can sing that melody that's been in their hearts for 15 years. And then it's also written for adult choir that they can sing together. So we're hoping to do that intergenerational stuff. So it's, yeah, just a joy to, yeah, get to work with all of them.
Yeah, that sounds so fun.
Okay, so you mentioned adult singing as well. Do you get to be part of choirs and lead choirs for your congregation as well?
Yeah, reluctantly. Or no. No, it's great. I mean, it's totally been learning on the job. And I think that's a big part of any church work thing. I mean, I had great training here. But like I said, I was never a part of choirs really growing up. But yeah, the group setting's fun. You know, it's really fun. You know, you got some sassy church choir members in the best of ways. Yeah.
Now, as a director of parish music, there is an education component as well. Do you get to do any teaching?
Sure. You know, we're hoping to add a K-3 school this next year with the voucher system, a big driver for that. And so looking forward to that. And we also have a good youth program that, and several of them, you know, play instruments. So that's fun. I get it in small doses.
The part of being a church worker, a director of parish music, is also learning new things. And so we're here at this Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music. And we're far enough in that you've probably been to some worship services, some sessions, some keynotes. What are some of the things that you've been learning here from the vast amount of information that's been happening?
Yeah. I've attended two sessions so far. One was choral conducting with Kurt von Kampen several other conductors and teachers. Mm-hmm. And then also a parish-based music conservatory based off the one in Omaha. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's a wonderful model to continue nurturing the faith and educating people in music so then they can share their gifts. So
we love the folks over at David's Harp and great work that they're doing and the way that music conservatories like David's Harp can engage the community with music and also God's word. It's great to hear that you learned a lot at that as well. Other things that you're hoping to learn or gain from your time at the Institute?
Mostly just hope to meet as many of the 500 church musicians here that I can and reconnect with good friends. And yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you know, I'm just going with the flow. I'm looking forward to all the sessions and stuff coming up. But it's, yeah, first time I've been at one of these things. And it's really a joy.
I really appreciate you sharing your story about becoming a director of parish music, what life is like, an honest look at what the life is like of being a church musician or a director of parish music and a church worker as well. What would you say to that student who is maybe that middle school student who's taking piano or elementary student who's studying piano and also maybe plays soccer, who might not be thinking about serving as a director of parish music in the future? How would you help them consider it?
Just be open to where God will guide. And, you know, some of the things that are really frustrating at the time, you know, can turn into where God's just guiding you and turn into some of the greatest joys. So, yeah.
Our guest today, Jacob Rogo, is director of parish music at Zion Lutheran Church in Fort Myers, Florida. Jacob, thank you so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour.
Thank you, guys.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.